Welcome back to Keep Idaho Red Radio program with Tom Loon and Vic Miller. And we're here, Vic, with Governor Little.
He's been on the show before,
and we appreciate you coming back.
Always a pleasure.
We had a lot to talk about, so let's jump right into it. And Governor, we're right now in the middle of the Empowering Parents Grants. This is the second version of this. It originally was Strong Families, Strong Students. It was so popular and so well received that it's back. So I won't take time to explain it. You tell us what the program is and how people can participate and the benefits of it.
Well, thanks for having me. As you said, both these programs, the one we had last year and this one, is a response to the disruption that happened in education. There's lots of people that didn't have the resources to help their kids that were either home or were in a traditional school or any other kind of a school. And we made this money available to parents to help with curriculum, devices, connectivity, whatever they needed to advance their children. This program is a little different, mainly because we had more time to look at what worked well and what we needed to improve on. It is kind of laddered for a family's adjusted gross income about who gets first choice on it. We opened applications on September 8th, and today we've had 13,336, I think, as of today. And if you're interested, go to empoweringparents.idaho.gov. So it's a pretty simple way to access it and fill out the form to apply for the grant.
So Governor, this is actually, I guess, the second time in Idaho, but definitely the first time, you know, in recent history anyways, where we actually have education dollars going into the home and giving parents the ability to choose. There's some sideboards. We don't want people buying 48-inch TVs and, you know, a couple lounge chairs, right? There's some sideboards to make sure it's education-driven. But parents are actually given the ability to choose what's best for their child to enhance their education.
And nobody knows the student better than the parents,
right?
About, you know, they might be in whatever public school, a charter school, and they say, you know, Johnny or Sally are missing out on this.
So maybe tutoring?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, tutoring's a big use, right?
Yeah.
And devices, yeah. You said, yeah. Connectivity into the home, those kinds of expenses. I the original version was called Strong Families, Strong Students, and it definitely plays out. Empowering parents, though, that's what this is really about.
Yeah, exactly. It is a huge priority for me, and I think for everybody in Idaho, that learning loss that happened, you know, our schools in Idaho were closed down for less than almost any other schools in the nation. We were all back in class, but those young children, there's a critical time when they're learning those fundamentals.
Yes.
Whether it's reading, whether it's the fundamentals of math, the fundamentals somewhere else. So learning those fundamentals are absolutely critical. And an early investment to get those kids caught back up is going to make a difference in their lives for the rest of their lives.
Well, let's pivot real quick and talk about another education specific. During the special session, one of the issues that was addressed by the legislature was not only tax rebates and tax cuts, but and we can talk about those, but specifically over $400 million additional dollars to go into education. Talk about where that money will be focused and who will decide how that money's spent.
Well, I mean, under our Constitution, the legislature allocates the capital. I make a recommendation, they allocate it. In a special session, which is by our Constitution intended to be narrow in scope, we just took sales tax revenue and put it into two different buckets, one for K-12, $330 million, and one for in-demand jobs, which is right now it's healthcare workers. That's a big part of it. It's cyber in a lot of different areas. The legislature will be here in January, and they will put the details on it.
So, Governor, I want to circle back on the Empowering Parents, because I think we didn't cover one thing, and that's how much per student, how much per family, because that's a significant amount.
Yeah, it's $1,000 per student, with a maximum of up to $3,000 per family.
So significant.
Yep. So the original budget for last year's program was it $50 million that was allocated for that? Is there a limit to the size of this one?
This is at 50. We put $51 million into it because it takes about $1 million to make sure that it's administered, because we wanted the money to go into the pockets of parents and to pay for these things, for connectivity, for tutoring, for whatever they need. So.
And Vic, before you jump in, just one thing I think folks should know is that this is a model that's being duplicated across the country, right? Idaho is leading in this area of actually putting education dollars into the home and giving parents the autonomy to choose what's best for their child. When we were up at the governor's retreat, the National Governors Association meeting up in Coeur d'Alene, the number of governors that talked about what Governor Little has done with this program and finding ways to do it in their states. So great example.
By the way, you're listening to Keep Idaho Red Radio on KIDO 580 AM and 107.5 FM. And you're also listening to KLIX in the Magic Valley. We're with Governor Brad Little. Thank you again for joining us this morning. Governor Little, one of the things, obviously the other part of the special session, was that you have been blessing us with the return of money and lowering our corporate tax and individual taxes. Maybe talk about that and maybe give people a sense of, like, what's the magnitude over the couple of years since you've been governor? How much money have you given back to taxpayers, and why did you think that was important to do now? You know, another one now, since you already did one in 2022.
Well, it's a fundamental principle of mine and of the party that I'm in charge of, that money's best in the pockets of the individuals. Let them decide how to spend it. Because of how incredibly strong our economy is, that every year, the last 3 years, when we anticipate $100 in revenue, we've been getting about $1.25. So this was actually first formulated by Governor Mitch Daniels, a great Republican governor in Indiana.
Yeah.
And that's just, we sweep the money back to them. So if you paid $1,000 in taxes, last year or year before last, you got $100. This year you got $120. This year with the special session, you'll get another $100 back. But we raised the minimum up about, you know, the people on the lower end, that it's a minimum of $300 per individual or $600 per dual filer. And this money that'll go back into the pockets, every family's different. In one family, it's fuel. In another family, it's groceries. In another family, it might be their property taxes. So rather than us, the legislature and myself, saying we want to give relief in this area, we're just giving money back to everybody, and it's their money. They paid it.
That's
so,
right.
And they can do what they want with it. That's your point.
Exactly.
Now, of course, the other part is that all this money will be determined how it's going to be spent by the legislature, ultimately with the $410 million.
Yeah.
But the other thing looks like it'll happen is you've got another $1 billion on top of the money that you gave back. And so how do you see setting priorities for that going into next year's legislature?
Well, I anticipate that I will recommend, if I'm fortunate enough to get through the November election, that I will recommend what I've done before, probably more tax relief, definitely continuing our investments in education, particularly early childhood literacy. And then with the dynamic changes in our economy, what we can do to train the workforce, whether we help individuals, which is my choice, or help companies train for their whatever they need. And then we'll continue to look at the other areas. And I anticipate we'll probably give more money back to the taxpayers.
So just remind us, what's the magnitude of the amount of money that you've given back, either literally through the rebates or how much you think you've given back in the form of lower taxes, you know, rates?
Well, it's well over $1 billion. It's about $1.25 billion is what it is right now.
Okay.
And of course we continue to lower the rates. And a lot, my friends and I would love to even get them lower, but we don't know what normal is.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know, whether what I tell my fellow Idahoans is whether there's an international recession, a national recession, a regional recession, or maybe something that happens in Idaho, no matter what happens, we're going to be in as good a shape as Idaho as any state in the union.
So, Governor, that I was going to ask you about that. This isn't the normal, right? And we shouldn't anticipate that we're going to continue to see surpluses year after year after year. Idaho, and you've been a part of this before you were governor, you were lieutenant governor, you were senator. Idaho has always focused on making sure that we set some money aside for rainy day. Talk to us about those rainy day accounts and the how stable they are and secure.
Well, in my career, I've gone back and forth on this. I thought, it's my money, why is the government keeping it? Which was, you know, so I always kind of look at it, how much of your money should the government keep? But in 2000, we had the big recession in 2007, 8, and 9. I was, Governor Otter was generous to allow me to be there. And what we had a rainy day fund, and a lot of people were saying, it's rain and spend all the money.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there, Tom. And we said, no, it's raining. Let's meter this out over 3 years. And that was really a lot of the start of the economic trajectory in Idaho, because other states were cutting critical services. Other states were raising taxes. And in Idaho, we didn't raise taxes. We continued to lower taxes. And the other thing we did in Idaho was, you know, we didn't turn prisoners out like what happened in a lot of other states. We didn't cut slash school funding to where it was critical. We didn't, public safety was still preserved. So we just did the responsible thing. We did what most Idahoans would do with their family budget or with their business, is when times are really good, let's pay for capital that's necessary. Let's not get too fancy and do a lot of new stuff. And it's just what's in our ethos, what's in our DNA in Idaho, to be responsible, be conservative, and we are very fortunate that we're where we are.
And Governor, I saw that play out when I was state superintendent. We were going through those recession, right? The big recession, they call it. And I saw this play out in the other in many of the other states of my fellow state superintendents. And how just a couple years after that, where their states took the approach, you know, the Thelma and Louise approach, they were heading towards the cliff, so they stomped on the gas, right? And the results that they went through and the cuts that they made to education that we avoided just showed the wisdom in that. We got a couple minutes here, a few minutes here. One thing I want to talk about also is you came out boldly recently in writing a letter in opposition to President Biden's student loan forgiveness. Talk to our listeners about why you did that in a very public way, and your thoughts about just the whole idea behind that plan.
Well, I appreciate you calling it bold, but to me, it was just common sense. If people are going to make a commitment to borrow money from whoever, from their family, from a bank, and from the U.S. taxpayers, they've got a responsibility, and I'd worry about the long-term consequences that people are going to say, well, we'll borrow money and then we'll just be let off the hook. So the other people have said either A, I'm not going to borrow money, or B, I'm going to pay back my loan. It sends the wrong message to society. It sends the wrong message to our children and our grandchildren that go ahead and borrow money and you won't have to pay it back.
Yeah.
That is just the opposite of what most of us want our children and our fellow Idahoans to know, that if you're going to borrow money, pay it back. If they would ask me, I'd say, well, the interest rate's pretty high. Why don't you shave a couple points off the interest rate, but still have people pay it back?
Yeah.
No, we're just going to wipe it out.
Yeah.
And so the guy that had something fortunate happen in his house and paid off his debt looks at his neighbor who's been splurging on stuff and go, it's just so patently unfair.
Or the person that never had the opportunity to go to college or chose not to, is now their taxes are going to go to pay off somebody else's college debt.
Give us one minute update on ESTA Perpetua and how that's going.
Well,
remind people what that is.
Well, ESTA Perpetua is our effort to do all we can to stop fentanyl from coming into the state of Idaho. Every state is, and this is almost all a result of the Mexican cartels having control over the border these last 4 years. And in fact, that they found a great profit incentive in shipping fentanyl in the United States. So we want to stop it at the border, but that's not all we want to do on fentanyl. We want to have first-time treatment for that unfortunate, and a lot of times it might be some kid that, you know, was on some legal prescription, got a little hooked, and then went out and bought a fentanyl pill on the market, and two out of six of those fentanyl pills have a lethal dose in them. We had person after person testify about people, loved ones that they'd lost. So we're trying to stop it coming in. We're trying to treat it early. We're trying to treat it long term. It is a huge problem in every state in the union, and we've got a good plan in place, but it's going to take a lot of work, and it's the families that have suffered the ravages from fentanyl. It's just heartbreaking, the stories we heard as we went around the state.
Governor Little, thank you for your time. Yes, you've been listening to our Keep Idaho Red Radio, and we'll be right back with Jason Monks. Thank you, Governor Little.